This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, Stephen Bond, thank you. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the app. It's reconfigured. Make sure you check it out. If you're in town hanging out with Matt Heumann, stop by any MGM property and bring your state-issued ID. When you do, you're ready to bet within minutes over at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. 1-800-GAMBLER. If you have an issue, got to be 21 years or older. And while we're at it, I want to give a special shout to the college basketball betting guide, Matt Heumann's Hoops Peterson. They did a hell of a job. 400-plus pages as we welcome you back. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here in Vegas. We now head to Circa and say hi to Matt Heumann's. Of course, bet prep Friday night into Saturday morning, along with the Circa Invitational. He's the king. What's up, Matt Heumann's? How are you?
I'm up. I've been up since yesterday at 7 a.m. How's that?
Oh, my God. How do you do? Were you out there with Derek Stevens last night? I saw we have a sponsor, Brooklyn Pizza. Did I see that right? I retweeted it and followed it. We have a sponsor for the contest now, Matty?
Yeah, Brooklyn's Best Pizza and Pasta is the sponsor of the best bet portion of the program.
Why not?
You know,
why not?
I knew that every Friday night when I came in to do the show, I was going to be hungry. So I looked for a food sponsor, and I got a friend who owns a pizza place. He opened a new location here in downtown Vegas, and he was excited to sign up because he loves Derek Stevens. Who doesn't?
Right? I mean, really, I love it. And then I saw the pizza, Patrick, online. I'm like, holy heck, I got to hit that spot. I mean, that looked delicious.
Yep. Heumann's is a legend. Matt, I'm going to start here right off the bat. Ole Miss has to win this football game. Forget the 12. I know you're taking the 12, but nothing could set up more perfectly. This spot for Lane and Ole Miss is perfection. He's running the football better than anybody this year. Alabama, a complete letdown. They're not going to the college football playoff. Let's be honest. Ole Miss has to win this game.
Yeah, but Ole Miss doesn't have to win to cash a ticket if you're getting 12. I know what you're saying here. And I think the Rebels are going to put up a pretty good fight in this game. You got to wonder what the motivation is for Alabama. It's a little bit deflating to lose that game on the last play at LSU 32-31. Nick Saban's motivator, he's going to get these guys to show up. And I think Bama's offense is going to move the ball, too. And Bama's offense, stunningly, did not find the end zone until the fourth quarter last week at LSU. That's not going to be a big issue here because Mississippi does – bend and does break on defense, but I also think the Rebels are going to be able to move the ball on the ground. Quinshon Judkins, 34 carries for 205 yards against Texas A&M. You've also got a mobile quarterback here in Jackson Dart, who he's a dual threat type of guy. He's more of a threat right now as a runner. He had 95 yards in that game against A&M, and that was when Ole Miss ran for 390 on the ground. So I think it's a little bit of a flat spot for Bama. This is the first time in, 12 years that a Nick Saban team has been really out of the playoff picture before the Auburn game. So you got to wonder how much fire the Tide's going to show up with in Oxford. I think the Rebels should be live dogs in this one.
You know, I think I agree completely. And here's where I'm worried about Alabama a little bit is knowing – that you got these guys, because they go to Alabama, they're going to get drafted early, and they have this draft stock. And when you're not playing for anything, it's why these kids don't play in these bowl games if they're not for the national championship. They protect themselves against an injury going forward. There's a to me, like, I watch Will Anderson, and I almost feel like that he's not the same player he was a year ago because he knows he's going to be a top five pick, and he doesn't want to really – he's playing, but he's not playing at the same level. That worries me about this game, and that's why I like Mississippi. I'm with you. I think you got to take the 12. I'm not saying they'll win. I mean, we'll learn about – Lane Kiffin should manage the game to keep it closer than 12. He should be able to kind of milk the clock, run his run game. This is the worst Alabama's going to be on defense, I think, in the next 3 years, because Nick's not going to tolerate this. So I agree. The game I want to ask you about, Matty, is Mississippi State against Georgia. Mike Leach has trouble with the Alabama scheme defensively. It just doesn't work for him because they do a great job of protecting the box in his run game, and they take away what he wants to do in terms of the inside pass game. So are you counting on a letdown from Georgia? Is that your analysis here on this one?
I mean, that's part of it. And, you know, you've got some interesting situational spots in the SEC this week, and that's why I'm on a few of these dogs. and I would expect two of the three of them to come in. I'm a little bit concerned about Mississippi State, but really, if you go back to Georgia's last road game, and believe it or not, Georgia has not been on the road since October 1st, and that was a game the Bulldogs trailed Missouri by 10 in the fourth quarter, had to rally to win 26-22. Yep. Also, Mississippi State is a much better team. I mean, this is not unique to Mississippi State, but a much better team at home than on the road. And you've also got a quarterback who's got some, scoring firepower here. And Will Rogers, 26 TD passes, 5 picks. And I hear exactly what you're saying about Mike Leach's offense having a lot of trouble against Nick Saban's defense. And it could be the same deal here against Kirby Smart. But I think Georgia was so jacked up for the Tennessee game last week. This has got to be a little bit of an emotional flat spot. And the home dogs catching a lot of points here. And this is a better Mississippi State team than that Missouri team that Georgia struggled with on the road. So grab the 16.5 or 17 if you can get it.
Yep.
And let me be real quick, Michael. Let me be clear about a 12-point dog, me saying Ole Miss has to win it. Matt, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Every couple of years, a coach like Kiffin gets a spot set up like Ole Miss at Oxford today off of rest. A dispirited team coming in. I digress. Let's go Texas A&M, Auburn, Cadillac Williams. They go overtime last week. A really spirited. I mean, you always talk about that interim coach first game bump, but Cadillac had his team ready to go. Here comes A&M. Auburn's laying a point.
I played Auburn here, and this number opened Texas A&M -2 at Circa. The favorites flipped. It's a small favorite, Auburn, but I have no problems betting against Jimbo Fisher. I've been betting against him. Almost every week. Could you guys imagine being so bad at your job that people are talking about paying you $86 million for you to walk away? And that's
they have to. They have to. I mean, the program's in ruins. I mean, what are they going to do for the program? I mean, the guy who gave them the contract should resign. I mean, no doubt. Matt, you're right. I agree with you. How would you like to be an A&M alum? Knowing that that Auburn's fired their coach, their season's in ruins, and you're still a dog playing them.
It might be the worst coaching contract in the history of college sports. It might go down that way. I mean, it's certainly going to be the biggest buyout if it happens. But Auburn ran for 256 yards last week against Mississippi State. And if you look at this A&M defense, not only is Jimbo Fisher's offense anemic, but the defense has had a total breakdown here. Allowed, like I said, the 390 on the ground to Ole Miss. Allowed 291 on the ground to Florida. I just think that Jimbo Fisher has not shown an ability to motivate this team, and two teams here on a 5-game losing streak. But only one of these teams is playing for something, and I think this Auburn team is playing to get Cadillac Williams his first win. You got to go with the home team here, and. I think Cadillac is going to stay on the staff. I got another prediction. I think he's going to stay in the staff, and Deion Sanders is going to be the next Auburn coach.
I think Bo Jackson would be probably the guy pushing that more than anybody. And I think it's either going to be Deion or it's going to be Hugh Freeze. I think those are the two names that seem to be the most prevalent that I'm hearing down there.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
$86 million to go away. What do you think Len Mead thought when he took over Veasan and he saw Matt Heumann's contract and he said, wait, we have to pay this guy 86? No, I'm just playing. Next up, you're catching 11.5 with Hawaii, Matt.
Yeah, this is a good number too. And since the beginning of October, Timmy Chang's kind of pulled this team together. Hawaii looks much better, much more competent offensively. They went back to Braden Schrager at quarterback. They've got two running backs now that can move the ball. And Hawaii is much more dangerous as a home dog. I love this team as a dog in Honolulu. I played them twice in the spot recently. Once they got the outright upset against Nevada. Second time they covered against Wyoming. And I think they got a good shot here to get the outright win against Utah State. This is a pedestrian Aggies team. I watched Utah State a week ago at home struggle against a bad New Mexico team. Needed a fumble return in the fourth quarter to kind of bust that game open. Utah State's been on the road twice recently against weak Mountain West teams and won by 4 at Colorado State, lost by 2 touchdowns at Wyoming. I don't see any reason why Hawaii can't win this game. We've seen a little bit of sharp money start to show up since last night on the home dog here too.
I love it. I love it. Like I was off Hawaii after the start of the season, and you know, you kind of get back into it, and I think that's the mark of a coach. Can he get his team better? And obviously, you know, Chang has improved them. I mean, they're having a bad season, but at least they are improving. I mean, 2-8, but the way they started this year off, I mean, whoa, you were thinking this was going to be a disaster.
No, you're right. That Vanderbilt game was about as bad as it gets. It can't get much uglier than that. And I thought, well, I'm not going to play this Hawaii team much at all, if at all, this season. But there have been signs of progress here the last couple months.
Do you believe in TCU? They're catching 7 in Austin, Texas.
You know, that's a tough one. Not really. I think that number, if you just read the number, it's telling you that Texas is probably the right side. But Texas has also been a much better first-half team. And then Sark really struggles in the second half. If I played this, and I haven't yet, I would probably – and I don't like to play college football teasers. I'd probably have to knock Texas down to -1. I do think Texas wins the game. I just don't feel good about laying 7 or 7.5 here.
How about Arkansas? Like, when I see the Arkansas-LSU line, my instincts initially were, and somebody texted me this morning and said, that doesn't look right. So you're on Arkansas today. Tell me why.
You know, and by the way, TCU's really capitalized on facing a lot of backup quarterbacks and quarterback injuries and things like that. TCU's caught some breaks. I did play Arkansas here. I got one concern. I've heard some talk this week that KJ Jefferson, their quarterback, is banged up and might not go. But I think he is going to make it a go here. This is a morning game in Fayetteville, not a night game in Baton Rouge. Tough spot for LSU, laying more than a field goal. I think the home dogs vibe here too.
Matt Eumanns, Michael Lombardi, NFL. I'll kick back and listen next, but I do have a selfish question. Washington, Oregon, come back with that, and then we'll get to the NFL with Matt Eumanns next.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, betting splits. Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com. It's a new look. You can, while you're there, you get Lombardi's Look Ahead, which is a great NFL article. VSiN.com/subscribe. But betting splits. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check it out. Betting splits. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we're back. Michael Lombardi, I want to do this quickly because I want you two to go back and forth with the NFL. 5 picks in the circuit contest for Matt Eumanns. 5 picks is a lot in the NFL. Anywho, this is a selfish question. This is a very selfish question. Washington, Oregon, I just want your cap. This is for me and my friend Jason in Michigan. What do you got, Matt?
Over the total, if anything. I don't think you're going to see a lot of defensive stops in this game, and I know it's a high total, but I'd probably still look over. And I leaned to the dog, but I couldn't get there with Washington. And basically, I couldn't get there, Patrick, because I've been wrong about Oregon almost every week. And this Ducks team has turned out to be a lot better than I thought. I had a low rating on the Ducks going into the season. I thought I was right when they got embarrassed by Georgia. But, they've done a great job turning this thing around. And Bo Nix is feasting on these Pac-12 defenses. You know, he didn't look very good against SEC defenses, but he's in a different league now, and he looks like a better quarterback.
No doubt.
And on the total.
Matt's right. I think that, to me, both defenses are going to struggle. I think watching punts in this game is going to be is like a turnover.
Yeah.
Okay, fellas, let's do it. You guys are going to go back and forth on this. I'm going to start with Pittsburgh. The Steelers getting J.J. Watt back, T.J. Watt back, pardon me, and they're catching 1.5. Matt, New Orleans is in town. Take it away.
Yeah, I'd much rather have T.J. than J.J., and the Steelers are lucky to have him back here. And I'm on the Steelers this week. This was the first bet I made. They were 2.5-point dogs when the week opened. I was hopeful that Watt was going to come back, and he is. In the 7 games without T.J. Watt, the Pittsburgh defense has not put any pressure on quarterbacks. He got a total of 8 sacks. And in games when Watt has been sidelined, Pittsburgh is 1-10 in his career. It's not all about T.J. Watt here, because the Steelers are going to have to get their act together on offense. They're 31st in the league in scoring, 15 points per game. Kenny Pickett, 2 TD passes, 8 picks. I'm a little bit concerned about Kenny Pickett, and I think – when you evaluate quarterbacks, and Michael, I know you do this a lot, I look for standout characteristics. What could make this guy great, or what can make him really good at the NFL level? I don't see one thing that Kenny Pickett does that indicates that he's going to be a really successful NFL quarterback. To me, he doesn't have any standout characteristics. But coming off the bye here, I think the Steelers are in a good spot. And, hey, why should the Saints be road favorites with the Red Rifle and Dennis Allen? These guys don't have any answers. I think the Mike Tomlin called this a put-up-or-shut-up spot, and the Steelers are 2-6 with Watt coming back, I think, in a little bit better spot here as home dogs.
You know, this is a game a little bit, Matty, to me, like the Texas-TCU game. You think, okay, Pittsburgh's terrible. They're in the bottom category in 11 of the most important critical components towards winning.
Yep.
And yet this line is under, you know, it opens at 2.5 and it's moving towards Pittsburgh. It's a trap. And so then when you break it down, you realize, well, New Orleans is, you know, turns the ball over way too much. The Red Rifle, when has he really ever been great in Pittsburgh? I mean, think about it. A guy went there once a year all the time. And he struggles, and he turns the ball over, and he's prone to turning it over. And when you look at this team and break it down, you know, as bad as Pittsburgh has played this year, you know, New Orleans still will turn the ball over more than they will. I mean, mm-hmm. This is a game where Pittsburgh turns it over at -0.5, and New Orleans is -1.1. So when you're in a game like this, take the points at home. I mean, it's easy to say take Pittsburgh, take New Orleans, but you're really not researching it all the way through if you do that.
You know, what's Dennis Allen showed you as a head coach, Michael, too? I believe a little bit more in Tomlin here coming off the bye. And like you said, the Red Rifle, he's been turning it over. So, I'm going to take a shot with the Steelers here. I don't see many reasons to bet the Saints or believe that they should be road favorites.
Yep,
you got
I agree.
A good number here with the Colts. Sorry, Michael. You got a good number with the Colts at 6.5. Jeff Saturday makes his debut. Go ahead, run with it.
Well, this is a play on a number because it's a good number in the contest. And sometimes you just have to take the better number. I've got, 8 games on my short list this week in the NFL, and I'm going to mix up these plays a little bit. And I'm not going to bet the Colts out of my pocket, but I'm going to ask Michael right now, which team is the bigger mess, the Colts or the Raiders?
Well, I think it's the Colts, yeah. but the Raiders are a mess, too, in the sense that defensively they can't get a stop. You know, they're 32nd on third down defense. They couldn't get any pressure on Trevor Lawrence last week.
Right.
And so they couldn't, he only had 6 incomplete passes in the game. And the game went from 20-7 to 24-20, very reminiscent of the Kansas City Chiefs game that they played on Monday night. Mm-hmm. And their offense has struggled without Waller. Now he's on IR. Hunter Renfrow hasn't been the same player. This game's going to come down to who protects the football better. You know, can the Raiders, who've turned the ball over too much, and Indianapolis, who turns it over all the time. This is a game where Chandler Jones has got to step up. Max Crosby's got to step up. Because if not, and Ellinger gets some easy completions, then this will be a close game. I don't understand how it's a 6.5-point game. I had it as a 2.5 in my power ranking because I think both teams are not playing well, and Carr's not playing to the level he needs to play at either.
You know, it's interesting when you look at the Raiders. I think a lot of times the coach is an easy target for critics, but I can't put too much on Josh McDaniels here because Derek Carr's got to play much, much better than he has. I've been really disappointed in Derek Carr's play. And also Hunter Renfrow, like you said, has not been the same guy since he took the hit to the head, suffered the concussion, and coughed up the ball in the Arizona game. Darren Waller has been sidelined basically for the entire season. He's been no factor. That offensive line is not good. The Raiders have got a lot of work to do on the offensive side, but defensively, they're even worse. Like you said, they couldn't get a stop against the Jaguars a week ago, and Chandler Jones has been invisible on that defensive line. So the Raiders have got a lot of problems here. And I wouldn't feel comfortable laying more than a field goal with Vegas.
I agree.
Cleveland's at Miami. You're catching 3.5 with Cleveland.
Well, this is a spot, too, where I think the Browns have been more efficient offensively than probably public perception, and Jacoby Brissett has not been bad. I'm not crazy about this play either, but I know there's a lot of sharp action on the Browns this week, and I was looking for a fifth play in the contest, and that's why I played it. And also this Miami offense. I know they put 35. The Dolphins put 35 up on the Bears a week ago, but I'm still not a complete believer in this Dolphins offense. And I think the Browns with Nick Chubb and the defense can keep this game close. And, at 3.5, it's more of a play on the number, too.
I think this game, when you look at this game, I feel like Brissett's going back to Florida. He knows Miami's played it. Miami's defense is atrocious. And Miami, when you really break them down offensively, when you allow Tyreek Hill to make these big plays, Cleveland is in the 19 categories I break down, Cleveland's in the top – in the top 7 and 6 of them. Mm-hmm. Miami's only in the top 7 and 3 of them. I mean, their power ranking in terms of the top 19 categories is a better number than Miami is. And for me, that tells you you should take the points. 3.5 is good. You get out of the field goal. And look, let's face it, Mike McDaniels will do you a favor at some point in this game and not kick a field goal, which would cover like he did last week. And so why not take the 3.5?
And the Dolphins have failed to cover 5 of their last 6. So, yeah, they've been underperforming as well. I think the Browns should be live here. And I know there's a lot of sharp play on the Cleveland side.
Okay, two more plays. Mm-hmm. We'll have the graphic for those visually inclined in a second here with Matt Eumann's picks. This is a fade Arizona spot because we don't know the quarterback for the Rams, but you're going to lay 1.5 with the Rams.
You know, the way Matthew Stafford's been playing, I'm okay with John Walford being out there. You know, also in the contest, you know, the Rams were 1.5-point favorites, and that's a good number in the contest too. So if you're a contest player, I think you gotta lay that number with the Rams. And Michael, is there a worse coach quarterback duo in the NFL right now than Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray? Those guys, not a duo I want to bet on. I would rather have John Walford in this spot than the Murray, who's got a hamstring issue, by the way. And
who can't move, right?
Yeah,
don't rush him the right way.
If he can't move, if he can't run, if he's limited by hamstring, he's not going to be very effective.
And look, the Rams are terrible. I mean, like I said last week, I said, look, the Rams and the Bucks were like two old champions boxers that were fighting. That neither fighter was good.
That's
like
everybody's talking about
the Bucks. Oh man, they got it turned around the last. No, they were on the ropes, taking pounding the whole game. I mean, any good referee would have called the fight off. I mean, seriously. So I think both teams are only good in one area. Both teams have liability, and the bottom 7 and 9, one team is 9, that's Arizona, and the Rams are in 5. There's a perception that the Rams are good. They're not. There's a perception that Murray's good. He's not.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Rams and Murray. And, you know, while we're talking about quarterback injuries, I know we're about out of time, but I think, you know, I didn't put this as a contest play because it was at 3.5, but I did bet it. I think Buffalo's in a buy-low spot here at -3.
Great spot.
The Vikings are 7-1. That's a phony record. They've taken advantage of a weak schedule. And Case Keenum can win a game, and that's the number one scoring defense in the NFL right now. So I think Bills -3 out of your pocket would be a good bet as well.
I think it's going to be cold, indoor team going outside. Everybody thinks Buffalo's going to be pushover Page. I don't.
Right.
Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to listen to Bet Prep from last night. Matt Eumann is the best. We would say go get some rest, Matt, but you're not going to listen to us, so just do whatever you do.
College football kicks off in a half hour, guys.
Thank you, Matt.
The guy's a legend. Thank you, Matt Eumann. We're back with Thomas Gable next. Okay, it's betting's reward program. It's a loyalty program. It's BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. So here's the bottom line. Like your credit card, when you make a bet at BetMGM, you get points. When you get those points, you can use them towards free bets, airfare to Vegas, shows, hotels. It's the best loyalty program in the business. BetMGM.com for more details. And I wanted to take a quick second here to shout out Bill AD. Our daily newsletter, Michael, I know you love it as well. I wake up with the daily newsletter every single day, and it's in fuego. It's awesome. It gives you all the information right there with links. Go to VSiN.com, enter your email address. You get the daily newsletter, including Chris Andrews today on college football movement. He's a Hall of Fame bookmaker. You got the podcast, the college football podcast. You got the pro football podcast. Michael Lombardi's latest article. It's all there. Sign up for the daily newsletter as we welcome you back. He's Michael Lombardi. He's Thomas Gable. He runs the race and sports book there at the Borgata. I'm Patrick Maher. Just as an aside, a big night for you guys. Sebastian Maniscalco tonight at the Borgata, Michael. You got to be fired up.
Got to love it. Oh, I'm really excited. You know, as a son of a barber, and he's a son of a barber. I mean, you know, Italian guy, you got to love it. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, Patrick. It'll be a good night. You know, we'll celebrate. We wish you were back here with us.
I honestly wish I could go with the crew. TG, we welcome you. Last weekend was busy. Guess what? It doesn't slow down. You've got the World Cup coming up in a couple of weeks. You got a loaded slate today in college football and your specialty, college basketball. We'll start with college football. Let's start with the game of the day, I think, and that's in Austin, Texas with TCU.
Yeah, so the Longhorns laying 7 in this, and TCU wide receiver Quentin Johnson, he'll be a game-time decision.
Yeah.
So limited in practice this week with the ankle injury. TCU, of course, coming in here 9-0 And really the college football playoff spot is theirs to lose at this point. Texas favored at home here by a touchdown. We've seen Texas, though, they get off the hot starts, and then they seem to lose these big leads this season. They do have one of the top running attacks, though, in the country behind Bijan Robinson. He's rushed for over 1,100 yards, 12 TDs this season. But interesting quarterback matchup here, Michael. You get your thoughts on this with a point of yours for Texas, who's looked brilliant at times. And then, of course, Max Duggan there for TCU.
This will be the first game in a while that they actually are playing against a starting quarterback. Usually TCU feasts on these backup quarterbacks. So to me, and especially with TCU, the vulnerability in their secondary, you got to take advantage of that, as Texas's vulnerability in their secondary. So, you know, I mean, look, I think this is Texas's game. Matt Eumanns was right. I mean, it looks like it's a trap. But if you're playing at home against a team that's kind of been very fortunate the last few weeks, I know they're ranked fourth in the country, you're supposed to be so good. I think Texas has got to manage the game correctly. Last week they're up 31-7, and they let Kansas State come roaring back, right? Texas Tech came roaring back and beat them. So, but they're usually better. I mean, Iowa State had a chance in their game in Austin. So every time I want to support Texas, I look at Sarkisian and I say, wait a minute, I can't go there. Like, the guy's an offensive play caller. He's not a head coach. Like, that's what he is. And we're going to find out what he does today in that area.
Patrick, this is a game here. I know you like to get involved in play. This is almost one that you say, "Hey, I lay back before kickoff."
Oh, you nailed it.
And sit out, and then wait for the in play here.
Yeah, but the problem with the in play is Texas is going to tantalize you. They're going to get a lead, you know, and you're going to say, "Oh my God, I got this. This is easy." That's why. And then all of a sudden, you're going to, you know, they're going to wilt as they go back and say, "Wait a minute, wasn't that's what happened with me at Kansas State?" I'm like, I thought Kansas State was going to give them a heck of a game. It's hard to win in Lawrence. I mean, in Manhattan, it's hard to win up there.
It's so funny. I wrote down in my notes what you both just said. I said Texas struggles to hold leads, but I also said wait for in-game because I want to see the snap count for Quentin Johnson. Quentin Johnson is a difference maker for TCU, the wide receiver. If he's getting snaps, if he's not on a pitch count, I'd be more comfortable in-game betting TCU, to your point, Thomas Gable. Next up, okay, so not a ton is New Year's Six Bowl motivation for Alabama, but all the motivation for a one-loss Ole Miss team here, Thomas.
Yeah, it is. Alabama's laying 11.5 in this, and the total has moved a little bit up from 63.5 where we opened it, now sitting at 64.5. Kiffin, though, 0-3 against his ex-boss there, Michael.
Yeah.
Obviously catching Alabama here off the loss, but trying to get really a rarity here for Alabama, send them to a three-loss season. This is an interesting spot here for Mississippi to be in. I know Kiffin likes to troll a little bit there on social media. He seems to be doing that this week. This is a spot here for Alabama. I don't know if you know what the motivation here is yet for these kids at this point.
Yeah, I mean, look, and you're catching Alabama. We've said this all show at the right time. And if you can't muster up enough to stay within 11.5 or 10 points of them, something's wrong. But I think Matt Eumanns is right. Look, this Mississippi defense isn't exactly the best defense in college football. And they've struggled at home. I mean, Kentucky's got a chance to beat them. And Levitas turns the ball over twice on the last two drives of the fourth quarter. They can't get that done. So every time you want a back lane and he goes into LSU with his cocky attitude and he gets sent with a 25-point loss. So every time you want to back him, you say, wait a minute, he's so immature. How do you do that? And to me, if I were interested in ever hiring Lane Kiffin as the head coach, for the record, I'm not. Yep. But if I were an athletic director who didn't know anything, this would be the game that I would look to and say, okay, you can't beat the guy. This guy is as down as you could be at Alabama, right? The kids are not motivated to really do anything. They don't really want the wristwatch from the Blue Bonnet Bowl, you know? Yeah. So, like, this is our moment.
I think you nailed it. I know I've been on this theme. I think they got to win this game. It sets up perfectly. Okay, Washington.
I think you're so right, Pat. Got to win is right. Matty Eumanns is right. You don't have to win to make money. But if you're Lane Kiffin, you got to win. Because all the cockiness and all the attitude that you show up. Like, remember before the game, TG, when he last year at Alabama, he interviewed, they got interviewed.
Get the popcorn ready.
Yeah, like, that's seriously. Right. Come on. I got popcorn today. I got some popcorn
now, Patrick,
today.
Are you taking Ole Miss on the money line here? Did I hear that correct?
Listen. You're going to give me 3 points. I'm not an idiot, but what I'm trying to say is
he's not an Eagle fan. He's not going to disrespect the points.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is this spot comes around every couple of years. A down Alabama team off an emotional loss at LSU. They've been bad on the road. You're rested. You can run the football. Michael, you know what I'm saying. Like, this is a perfect spot. For a coach,
Can you imagine the fanfare that Lincoln? First of all, he has such a great PR machine out there in America. Yeah. Could you imagine if he actually wins a big game? How the momentum of his fanfare? Nobody ever looked at what happened at Tennessee or USC. Everybody ignores that. It's like Sark. Oh, he really wasn't at Washington. He really wasn't at SC. He just got born at Texas. You know, nobody ever looks at those things. They've got such great PR campaigns from the national media that at some point somebody's going to say, wait a minute, this guy can't win a big game. I think it's time.
Nailed it. Okay, let's get this one quickly because we've got the Des Moines play, which is special in college basketball from Thomas Gable. Washington, Oregon, what do you have on this one, Thomas?
Yeah, so Washington and Oregon, this is a another interesting spot. I think there's not going to be any lack of points, we'll say, in this one here. I think if anything – you probably have to look at the over. Oregon is laying 13.5 where they opened the total. It is a high total, 72.5, but I don't see much defense here in this one, Mike.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think both coaches, you know, who controls the pace of the game? I like Kalen DeBoer as a coach. I really do. But I lean towards Oregon here because I've watched Washington's defense and it's not very good.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think Oregon can control the pace of the game. You know, would I take Washington in the points? Probably, because it's such a rivalry game. But I do think that this is two bad defenses. And I do think the over is certainly a number you should play.
Totally agree. Matt Eumanns agreed as well. Okay, those that don't know, college basketball is Thomas Gable's favorite sport. We like to do something called the Des Moines play, so we do have a graphic for it. Stonehill at Army today. We're going deep. Look at this graphic.
Oh, man.
I want Thomas to be able to see it.
Look at
beautiful.
That. Yeah, I see that.
Army laying 11.5 TG. What do you got here?
Yeah. So the Army finished 500 in the Patriot League last season. They lost two starters, but they're returning 7 of their 9 top scorers this year, including their top scorer from last season, junior guard Jalen Rucker. He averaged over 17 points per game last year. He was second on the team in assists. This team can certainly play with some pace. They should be good up front defensively. They won't be pressing as much as they did last season. Now, they're not going to contend with Colgate there in the Patriot League, but they'll be a consistent team throughout the year. Now, you may not be familiar, Patrick, with Stonehill, the Stonehill Skyhawks. That's because they were a D2 team last year. This is their first year in Division I. They're playing in the Northeast Conference. And I give them credit because they've actually scheduled some decent teams here in their non-conference schedule. They already played UConn, which they got blown out by 31 points to. Already played Quinnipiac, but they have Providence scheduled. They have Boston College scheduled, but we're going to look at laying the 11.5 here with Army.
Where is Stonehill? Is that Vermont?
It's a good question. I don't know where they're located.
I don't know. I never even heard of them.
You said I wasn't I was in New York. You said I wasn't familiar. By the way, I am familiar with Stonehill because our college basketball betting guide dropped, and I read about Stonehill in the guide, VSiN.com/subscribe.
Oh, yes.
Thomas Gable.
Great segue. Unbelievable. That's why he's the best point guard ever.
We're back with the board next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, get a $10 free bet when you sign up for FirstBet ExpressBet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Use the code HORSE200 for $10 as soon as you sign up. Plus, you get 100% match on your first deposit up to $200, wagering at over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks, details at VSiN.com/horses. That's VSiN.com/horses. Okay, I'll play your game. Coming up tonight, Atlanta, Philly. 76ers are laying 3.5. Michael.
They just got killed by him. Fat boy couldn't even make it up and down the court in the fourth quarter. Are you kidding me? But you know how the NBA is. I told somebody, you know, bet the NBA is like you know, it's like baseball. You got to wait until the starting lineups are declared before you could ever place a bet on that game. I mean, how could you do that? I mean, Chubby might not play. I mean, he could have a migraine. He could have a turf toe. I mean, you know, he could have an elbow like infection. Who knows? I mean, just what time is it? It's 11:45. There's 8 hours before tip off. He could get 7 diseases before the game starts. Come on. How can you play that? You can't. You have to wait till tip off. They're on dock, though. I'll tell you one thing. They're on dock. You can get out of the way, Patrick. They're on dock. It's so good. Doc is the first job Doc's ever had where the pressure's on him. It's hilarious. I mean, welcome to Philadelphia, Doc, because when it goes good, like it's going for Nick Sirianni, it's wonderful. When it goes bad, man, it's not good. I digress.
I would like the camera to pan back to me and notice my posture, because this is officially what I'm going to start doing when he goes off on the 76ers. He could continue. You'll miss Sebastian Maniscalco tonight if I let him go.
It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating for me because I want to be able to enjoy a basketball team. I love pro basketball, but I can't stand the team. I hate the whole perception of it. I hate the whole nonsense that people actually think this guy's the MVP. If he's so good, how come they can't beat Atlanta and Atlanta? If he's so good, how's he out of shape? Like, I don't understand. I wish I had a career where I could manipulate the media like this guy does. And of course, I'm not 7 feet tall. I'm not out of shape. You know, I am out of shape, come to think of it. Yes. Anyway, let's talk about Wake Forest.
Don't do that to me. No. You just pretended like you were done 2 minutes ago. So are you really done? Because if you're done, we'll move on.
Let's talk about Wake Forest today. Let's talk about that game. I think that game's an interesting game. That line has moved. North Carolina has kind of got all the pub. They're going Wake Forest, 7:30 tonight. I like the Wake. I like the Demon Deacons tonight. I think that this is the ACC's terrible, so you can't really handicap it based on who's playing well. I think they're well coached. I think they'll play well tonight. I like Wake Forest. Now it's up to 4.5. It was, you can find some fours out there. Shop for it.
I will say Wake let me down at NC State. NC State played the backup quarterback. That kid's going to be a stud. So I would be careful. NC State.
That's what happens in college is the backups sometimes are better than the starter. Not that NC State starter's bad. You just don't know the backup, right? You just don't know how good the kid is.
Doran's got a real one. Watch NC State next year because this kid's going to be good. They beat Wake Forest. Wake was laying 3 at NC State. They're laying 4, 4.5. I agree. North Carolina's quarterback's tremendous, but I think Wake is in a good spot here coming back home. Okay, next up on the board as we move on from the 76ers, my goodness. Okay, hey, quickly, can I just ask you a question? And this is off the beaten path, but it's what Matt Heumann said. I 100%, and you know I've been on this, I 100% agree about Kenny Pickett. I don't know anything that he does that's above average. I know his mental is good, but I don't see anything from him physically.
I agree, and I think if you saw him and Davis Mills, you would say the same. It's the same thing with Mac Jones. You got to be able to me, those guys, Mac Jones, Davis Mills, Kenny Pickett, their value, their separation from the pack has to be their intellectual capability, their ability to be precisely accurate and make quick decisions. You know, because they're not going to wow anybody with their talent. They're not going to just come in and say, wow, I could fit that ball in there. You know, and Mac Jones did some really good things last year. Now, this year it's not the same. And obviously the whole offense of New England isn't the same. So that's been an issue. But I think with Pickett, like tomorrow, if you're playing Pittsburgh, and there's some good reason too, right? You're saying that after the week off, they kind of have them down. Matt Canada's going to get him into a groove. They're going to run the ball. They're going to be able to this, but the problem is Pittsburgh's offensive line is a disaster, and he's going to get hit, and he's turned the ball over in unforced errors. Go back to the Jet game. Two of the throws in the Jet games he shouldn't have made. Like he can't make those throws. You can't be a pro player and make those throws. So I agree with what Matty says. If you're going to be just on the marginal talent level, then you got to be careful. Here's the other part, is if you're drafting a guy in the first round, you can't say to yourself, next year there could be two players better than him.
Correct.
Because now you're chasing your tail. Like, that's why you have to have a grading system. That's why you have to have, okay, this guy's a 68 player, and the next year's player is going to be less. You can't. When you took Kenny Pickett in the first round, you were just satisfying your depth chart. You weren't taking an elite player.
We will be here live with the Seahawks Buccaneers on the Lombardi Line tomorrow right here on VSiN. Next, let's go quick. I want to get to a bunch of games. Bama's laying 11.5 at Ole Miss.
I'm going to take the popcorn eater. I'm going to take Lane Kiffin. I'll lay the points. I mean, if he can't win now, when? Like, seriously, home game, everybody's got their red and blue ties on, khaki shirts, white – I mean, we're all there. The girls are dressed perfectly. Truly one of the greatest venues in college football. You need to go. Oxford, Mississippi on a Saturday afternoon. I'll take Ole Miss.
It's like walking into 1930. It's such a great
vibe. It's the best. It's like a novel. It's a setting for one of the great novels of all time. Faulkner's
from Mississippi, so that makes sense.
Are you correct? Yes.
Washington. See, you come for the culture, man. You leave with football.
That's right.
Washington's
at
Oregon.
And the highways.
And the highway systems. Okay, shout to Eisenhower. Oregon, laying 12, but the total, 73, has been focused here on the show.
I'll take Washington in the 12. I think the over's in play. You know, I think be careful on the over. Don't get too far. If it starts to tick up during the day, stay away. 72.5, I think you're right on the cusp of it there.
By the way, Texas just went to 7.5 at Circa. Michael, TCU, this number is the biggest trap we've seen in a long time.
I'm going to take Texas. I'm going to take my two guys, my two favorite NFL college football coaches, Sark and Lane. Both guys have had numerous great jobs. I'm going to take them today because it's time to show up today. Let's see if they can do it.
Where's Glenn Frey and the Eagles? Because hell has officially frozen over with you.
Yes.
Taking those. You get the reference. Maybe you and I are the only ones.
I love it.
Okay. How about Georgia? Weird spot. At Mississippi State, they're laying 16. They're the much better team, but that's a tricky offense.
It is a tricky offense. And I respect Matty Humans. He took Mississippi State. I just think Mississippi State in these games, they struggle against really good defenses. And I think, different than Matt, I think the Missouri game is going to be Kirby's rallying cry to play really well today. Like, we've got to play off of that. And Georgia does a great job of defending the run with a limited box. And that's what you have to do when you're playing Mississippi State. You can't allow them to run it. And they've got two good backs that can. But I'll take Georgia and lay the points because I think Georgia wins this game in the fourth quarter and goes away from it.
Okay, I'm bringing this one up because Michigan-Nebraska, Michigan's laying 30.5, but Nebraska quarterback Casey Thompson won't play. His backups, Purdy and Smothers, are both, no offense to him, not any good. So 30.5 with Michigan, it's a big number, but Nebraska's banged up.
I think when you play Michigan, you've got to get ready for a fight, and you're going to get beat up. And when you're a team that's interim coaches in place, I don't think you want to get beat up. And the game is in the Big Ten. If this is in Nebraska, I would say different. I feel bad for Nebraska because, I mean, that's a great program at one time that has fallen short. And this is going to be another day where they're going to feel inadequate.
Hey, so Indiana started 3-0. They've lost 6 in a row. They're at Ohio State.
I don't like Indiana.
No, me neither. Ohio State knows they didn't show and prove at Northwestern. They're laying 40 points today hosting Indiana.
I mean, that's a lot of points to lay. You know, when you break down this game, that's too many points to lay. I would be a no play because I don't trust Indiana at all. And I think if you're Ryan Day, you've got to get some style points because that 21-7 game, nobody's going to remember that it was windy that day when they go back 3 weeks from now. Nobody has a memory that long. So they're going to just think of it as, oh, wow, they just didn't play good that day. I just think 40 is too much. I would take Indiana. I'd lean towards it on a 61 total. Can you imagine that? On a 61 total, it's 40.
It's fascinating. Remember, Tennessee's not going to the SEC championship, so they have to go style points on the way out. They're hosting Missouri today. No time for a letdown. They're laying 19, Tennessee.
I'm going to take Tennessee here. I think Tennessee has to bounce back. I think Missouri's the perfect place to do it. I think they've got to be able to ramp it up. I know Missouri plays better in Columbia than they do on the road, but I think this is one of those where Tennessee's got to show that they're not a fluke, and they've got to really have style points. They're in the perfect – they couldn't be in a better position than any team in college football. They can sit right there at 5, watch everybody else beat up on each other. Don't go to the Southeast Conference Championship game and get into the Final Four.
Tampa Bay's laying 2.5 in Germany. Seattle's going to win that game straight up. I'm telling you right now, we're going to be here live tomorrow. Seattle is so undervalued, it's crazy.
It's amazing. It's like everybody has amnesia. I take Seattle on the – I mean, I can't believe they're giving me 2.5 in Seattle. I didn't take it in Russo yesterday because I hate taking those early games, and if I lose, I'm miserable for the whole day.
Hey, You won't be miserable. You don't have to watch the 76ers tonight. Enjoy the concert.
Oh, I'm not watching. I'm watching. I'll check my phone, though. That's how sick I am.
I'll see you tomorrow morning.